This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
When the redeemed are gathering in, if you are not familiar with that kind of worship music, that's understandable. But there are a lot of us here that's the way we were introduced to Pentecostal singing. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of you that didn't even need the words on the screen for that. That's right. Wonderful, wonderful song. You may be seated today. I am going to turn your attention to the 18th Psalm. And I will begin reading at verse 16. For our guests that are here today, may God richly bless you. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord. Psalm 18 and verse 16. He sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. And that 19th verse is where I am taking my text today. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Let me suggest to you, if you have favorite passages of Scripture, refuge scriptures, I call them sometimes toolbox scriptures, Bible passages that are tools that I keep with me all the time because they work in every situation. I was in Lowe's, I believe, some time ago, and I saw on one of the end counters a tool that was a wrench that fit almost every size bolt head that you would need in a house. It would form. You put it on there, and as you cranked it, it would form to fit. I thought that could save a lot of room in your tool chest to have a tool like that. There are passages of Scripture that are arsenal scriptures. They are verses that are good to have always in the forefront of your mind, always on the tip of your tongue. Verses of Scripture to remember, to fall back on in a time of trouble or when you are faced with an unanswerable question. It's good to have toolbox scriptures. Let me suggest to you that you put Psalm 18 in your toolbox. You read beginning at verse 1 through the end of the chapter. It is filled with arsenal scriptures and verses to strengthen, encourage, lift, help, direct in every aspect of life. God is called, just in the second verse, he is called my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. And I'm going to tell you, we need him to be all of those things. And to know that he is a is a comforting and settling aspect to our life. This chapter points out God's extreme passion for his children. It points out how he responds to their cries. It points out his intense love for us. I will guarantee, Justin Wilson said, that if you are troubled, if you will read this chapter aloud, it's 50 verses. That's 50 cc's of everything that you could need. I could just go through here and just pick out some of my favorite passages of scripture are found right here. Verse 19 that I read to you says, he delivered me because he delighted in me. That's the reason. Isaiah 62 and verse 5 says, as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Often we try to overcomplicate God and his work. There is not always some mystical hidden agenda behind the things that God does. You don't always have to dig deep, wonder, what did he mean by that? What does that mean? You don't always need pulpit commentary and Matthew Henry and all of the Baker's Bible Atlas. You don't always need that with God, because he does not have hidden agendas. Most of the problems that we face are not cataclysmic in nature. You know, seldom do our crises rock the Richter scale. And that's for most of us. Most of our calamities are on the common scale. But Jesus is no less interested because he delights in us. You do not always have to wonder if there is something mystical lurking in the shadow. It's not like that. It's pretty simple. He delivers us because he delights in us. I called my sister Pat yesterday morning, and she answered and told me she was at her office, and I wondered why she doesn't work on Saturday. She is a secretary to an attorney in Richland, Mississippi. And she started crying. Pat's 73. She just had her 73rd birthday a couple weeks ago, and she's still working, and because she has to. And she's emotional. And she had misplaced a file. Now, her boss is an attorney that's an extreme stickler. This was a file that he was going to need Tuesday because he had to go to court with a lady to because she had been charged with a DUI. And the other secretary said she had given this to Pat, and Pat did not remember it. And she said, I get to where I can't remember anything. I don't need to be working because I can't remember anything. And she's so frustrated, and she's crying. And I do not know what to do around a crying woman. I just don't know what to do. You know, what do you do? All of you men have been there. So she said, I have turned this office upside down. And if he comes in Monday and asks for this file and I don't have it, I don't know what he's going to do. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. As soon as I hang up, I'm going to pray. I should have prayed right then. But I said, I'm going to pray that God. I said, because I lose stuff all the time. I lose stuff that's laying on my desk. And I said, I have plenty of practice asking God to help me find something. And I said, we'll pray, and I just believe you'll find it. Well, we did. And 15 minutes later, she texted me that she had found it. Now, perhaps that dilemma was not life-threatening. It did not require 12 legions of angels, an earthquake, or a blasting wind, but it was a big deal to her. She should be at home on Saturday, but instead she's up there filtering through with a fine-tooth comb everything in that attorney's office, and you know how many files there are in an attorney's office. But it was a big deal to God. He answered that prayer. Why? Because he delights in us. Verse 35 of Psalm 18 says, thy gentleness hath made me great. Isn't that? Thy gentleness. I need your gentleness. I do not always need the voice that shakes Mount Sinai or descends upon the mountain in smoke. Your gentleness hath made me great. And there was a similar situation to Pat's problem that surfaced in the life of Jesus in John chapter 2. Verse 1 says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Now, something will go wrong at a wedding. When I talk to young people that are planning to get married, I tell them, there's going to be a snafu. I've been marrying folks for 35 years, and I'm just telling you, there's going to be some kind of situation. And I may tell them one of the many things that went wrong at our wedding. But just take my word for it. I was marrying Keaton Thompson and Brooke last week. And instead of saying Keaton, I said Chandler, his brother who was standing there. And I thought we was going to need oxygen for Chandler. Those things happen. One time I forgot a wedding. I was supposed to marry a couple on the gazebo at sundown on the Natchez Bluff. It's a very beautiful setting, and it was arranged at sundown, and I forgot it. And after a while, the aunt of the groom called me, and as soon as she said, Brother Mahoney, and I recognized Mickey's voice, I thought, oh, you have got to be kidding. Thankfully, I was at the church. I grabbed my Bible, this Bible, off of my desk. I jumped in the car. I got to the bluff. I arrived 45 minutes late, and instead of a wedding at sundown, it was more of a wedding at dusk. I couldn't even read the Bible. I had to just quote scriptures and quote the vows. I couldn't read anything. So something is going to happen. Now, in this situation in John 2, there was no need for Mary to call 911. She did not need a SWAT team. She did not need a hostage negotiator. It was a calamity on the common scale. And that is like most calamities that we face. You've just got your head out of the sink from washing your hair. An unexpected family arrives at your door from out of state. You forgot to pay the water bill and they cut your water off. The lawn man weed eats one of your prized rose bushes. You burn the biscuits. The car battery is dead. These are the kinds of things that happen in our life. It's called life. They do not require an ambulance or the fire department. The FBI is not called. But you see, the waves that are rocking our life may not be life-threatening, but they can be if we forget that He delivered me because He delighted in me. A poor response to a simple problem can light a fuse. It can be a snowflake that can snowball into an avalanche. You and I'm sure you as well as I have been following closely this mudslide in Washington that took many lives and there are still people missing. I do not know how that started, but obviously at some point water began to undermine the hillside. And continual rain began to erode the strength of that bluff. And when it come down, it completely demolished entire homes. And a very tragic thing. A poor response to a simple problem can be just like that in our life. And a lot of times, a poor response to a simple problem can turn a simple problem into a cataclysmic event. Let's take note of how Mary reacted to this social snafu. She left us a little practical plan for untangling life's knots. The Bible said when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. That's it. That's all she said. She did not go ballistic. She took it to Jesus. Now, she could have exploded. Why didn't you plan better? Whose fault is this anyway? You guys can never do anything right. If anything gets done right around here, I have to do it myself. She could have done that. Or she could have imploded. This is my fault. I failed. I'm to blame. I deserve this. I'm not surprised that I blew it again. It is so easy to focus on everything but the solution. A lot of people are really good at pointing out the problem, but they have trouble adding to the solution. Being a part of the fix it. What Mary did, she didn't focus on everything but the solution. She took the problem to Jesus before she took it to anyone else. That's very important. She took the problem to Jesus before she took it to anyone else. What causes us to think of prayer as the last option rather than the first option? Why, what does the old song say? Oh, what grief. No. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now, my sister Pat could be back up there at the office this morning looking for that file. And if necessary, she would be. I'm not advocating that we make God our personal butler. But God's not made nervous when we bring our simple problems to Him. It amazes me. I'm telling you, it amazes me. I was trying to think of a preacher's name for probably a week. This man has preached behind this pulpit. I have known him for many years, and I don't even know why I was trying to think of him. I could think of stuff all around him. I knew where he pastored, and I just, but you know how something, it just gets in your mind and it just gnaws at you. And I thought, it's no big deal. It's like something that you gave one of your granddaughters. Sister Creel told me about remembering that she gave something from her house to one of her granddaughters. She couldn't remember who she gave it to or what it was. And it just gnaws on her that maybe it was really important. It was so important she can't even remember what it was. All of us do that. Remembering this man's name would not add 1 inch to my stature or $1 to my wallet. And I'm sitting in my little devotion chair, and I said, Jesus, just to give me peace of mind, would you help me remember that man's name? And just like that, I remembered his name. And you know, that didn't amount to nothing, Brother Stevens. That was not important. Why would I ask the God who, you know what Psalm 18 says about him? That he flies upon the wings of the wind. So why would a God who can fly on the wings of a wind bother to help me remember a man's name? And it means nothing. It just simply means nothing. Sister Mahoney will remember me trying to think about it and talk about who, all of, and we couldn't remember his name. So she really wants me to tell you, but I don't want to mention his name publicly. And so, why? Well, he delivers us because he delighted in us. That's right. Prayer should not be the last option. There's two reasons that we often make prayer the last option instead of the first. Number one, we feel independent. Jesus doesn't want us to attempt to be our own problem solver. Jesus does not want us to attempt to be our own God, to be our own fixer-upper. He doesn't want that. You know how, have you ever looked at your grown children and remembered when they were really dependent on you? And you wish for that just a little bit. You think, man, if I could just have a few minutes of the day when I fix their plate, you know, I'd go to the stove and I would dish up their food and I'd cut their meat up. And some of you, especially you mothers, you like to do that to your grown children every once in a while. My mother did. Every time I went to see her, she wanted to give me something. I mean something, just something. She wanted to get up and get me a glass of water. Mothers love to do that, you know. And then your children get independent. You know, they get in the early teens and all of a sudden, mom and dad's not nearly as important as they were. You know, they can take care of it. You don't have to tie their shoes any longer or comb their hair. And you wish sometimes that they would be just a little more dependent. You know what? God wants you to lean on Him. He does not want you to get independent. But just as bad as feeling independent, we can feel insignificant, like we don't deserve it. Perhaps we could rationalize, sure, Mary can take her problem to Jesus. I mean, she's his mother. You know, she was in Bethlehem. She was in the cow cave with him that night. She heard what the angels told the shepherds, and she was there when the wise men came. And so she can take him. He doesn't want to hear my penny ante trouble. Besides, it seems like I'm always bringing the same old problems to him. Someone recently wanted prayer for their pet. I don't remember who that was. Maybe some of you or some of your grandchildren maybe. But someone just recently asked me to pray for their pet. I don't remember who it was. And I told them about an incident in my own life that I don't even remember. I was so young, I didn't even remember. But I had a dog that was dying. I didn't know this. I just knew that he wasn't getting around and just laying there. So he and I are in the back seat of the car, and mom and dad are in the front seat of the car. And my parents told me that they heard me praying, and they looked back there, and I had my hand on the head of that dog. And I was saying, Jesus, this is the only dog that I have. And if you don't heal him, he's going to die. What I didn't know was he wasn't going to die on his own. He was going to die an assisted death. That was the plan because he was so sick. And my parents looked back there in a couple of minutes, and the dog has hopped up on the seat. It's doing fine. When they got home, the dog ate like there was no tomorrow, And I was able to tell this person or child that I don't remember. Yeah. Now, that's not as important as the prayer I prayed when I repented from my sins and asked God to fill me with His Spirit. But you know what? He delivers us because He delights in us. Not because of my decency, not because of my goodness, not because of my good attitude. One of the greatest reasons that God responds to you is because He is fond of you. You are the apple of His eye. He likes having you around. If He had a refrigerator, your photo would be on it. He sends you flowers every spring, a multicolored canvas every fall, and sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, He'll listen. While you're talking to Him, He's not texting a friend or going on Google or... No. You have His undivided attention. Isn't that amazing? That every one of us could pray right now and each of us would have God's undivided attention. Man, that's one of the things I love about God. Amen. He delivers us because He delights in us. He could live anywhere in the universe, and He chose to live in your heart. Don't worry about being a nuisance to God. All you need to do is concentrate on doing what He tells you to do. Amen. And when Mary brought this problem to Jesus and said they have no wine, verse 6 of John 2 says, there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 to 3 firkins apiece. Each one of these pots would hold from 18 to 24 gallons. And there were 6 of them. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. That's what you call abundant obedience. And when the water is drawn out of the pots, it's no longer water, but it is the best tasting wine that they've had at the wedding feast. He delivers us because He delights in us. The next time you face a common calamity, remember that God delights in you. Your need does not make Him nervous. He's not too busy. One thing that I don't like about the technological age is calling a business and having to listen to all the options and hit 1 through 7 and then hit 1 through 7 again and then hit 1 through 7 again. And eventually, you know, there's some places that I call enough that I know that I can just cut through all of that, hit 0 or hit 00, because I want to talk to a human being, a breathing person. I'm not good at talking to computers. And with Jesus, it's just nice. It's just nice. I can close my eyes and sing, Jesus, 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 what a wonder You are. And as soon as I get to that part, His eyes are upon me, His ears are attentive, He's not fidgeting. He's not looking over my shoulder to see somebody else. That doesn't happen. It's quite comforting to know that I can talk to Him. Shall we stand together? It is very comforting to know that I have an audience with Him. Let's tell Him how much we love Him about that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love the fact that you are a friend that sticketh closer than a